quite frankly, I think it's because we are from that demographic that will not have easy access to coaching. So Samir and I come from ethnic minorities, but also because we come from industries that it's not commonplace to have a coach. Experiencing that ourselves made us focus on wanting to support the people that want to have access to coaching. They are at the point of their career where they would probably benefit immensely from coaching, but not necessarily have the access or the means to do so. And again, we define that as monetary or even just knowing where to find the coach.
Hello, I'm Renee Vaughan Sutherland, and welcome to Greater Than 11% podcast. We explore roles and opportunities within the creative industries with the aim of improving diversity, in addition to promoting, providing a platform, and shouting about awesome women and those identifying as non-binary. For episode 80, we are joined by coach and co-founder of Hack Camp, Isabel Sanchez. Initially completing a BA in Psychology and International Affairs at the George Washington University, she followed this with an MSc in Development Management at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Isabel's career started off in social enterprise and also merged with the tech sector, working with the likes of Lifeline, LeapCR, JustGiving, MenCap, and Zoopla. Most of her roles have revolved around working with people, establishing collaborations with clients, colleagues, and developing others. And as a result, her passion for empowering people led her to pursue coaching, with her receiving her diploma in transformational coaching from Catalyst 1-4 this summer. At an event one evening, Isabel found herself with the wonderful former Greater Than 11% guest, Samira Musa, discussing how coaching had radically transformed both their professional and personal lives. What bonded them was not only their self-development journeys, but also their mutual understanding that one of the biggest challenges to the lack of diversity within the industry was inaccessibility of coaching to emerging leaders and entrepreneurs. They were driven to do something about it and co-founded Hack Camp to directly tackle that challenge head on. In addition to their coaching, their first initiative, Future Leaders, was put together and launched in a matter of weeks in response to the Black Lives Matter movement. They are currently focusing on arming the next generation of young Black leaders with the right tools and methodologies to reach their full potential. Taking a quote from Hack Camp's website, Samira states, "I was introduced to coaching whilst going through a transition, and it changed my life. I went from being a shy young Black woman to a confident Black female entrepreneur of two companies, a G20 YEA UK representative, and a speaker. I would not be where I am today without the tools I was shown through coaching. My aim is to give our community the methodologies that privileged people have had access to through coaching, but without the heavy price tag." Both Samira and Isabel worked to seek funding that would pay it forward for these future leaders, and they achieved this within 48 hours of launching. The first cohort began their sessions on the 6th of July. Let's just pause and let that soak in. Fully funded coaching paid forward for 9 young future leaders, which is already up and running. Isabel, I'm really looking forward to learning more about you, your coaching methods, Hack Camp, and the Future Leaders Initiative. Welcome to Greater Than 11%.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Without a doubt, we've all heard of coaching and have some notion of what it can be, but can you describe what you do in your role and how you do it?
Sure. I think, you know, you're absolutely right. Coaching means different things to different people. But for me, in terms of whether it's personal, professional development, I describe it as a way to empower people. Coaches empower people to find answers to questions that and goals that they wish to achieve.
So I mentioned in the intro that your background isn't from the creative industries per se, but you've been super creative nonetheless, and especially with kind of what you've studied. So you've been working in social enterprise and tech for a number of years. Can you talk about why you felt compelled to move towards training as a coach and working in that area specifically?
Sure. And you're right. I haven't been working in the creative industry, but I've been working in something that I've been calling the third sector. So it's a mixture of tech for good as well as charitable organizations. What made me want to become a coach is kind of what you said in the intro, which you kindly wrote, was that I was always working with people. So whether it was in sales and account management or whether working internally, I really loved building relationships. And what I found over the last 3 to 4 years in particular is I really love empowering people to solve questions that they want to answer or goals that they want to achieve. And I realized that actually that is coaching, that people actually have a profession for that. And that's what inspired me to train, is that idea that I can empower someone, I can give someone that safe space to explore anything that they've been mulling on for a while or explore any goals that they want to achieve and just help them find the answers for themselves.
What was that process like? Because I guess is it like a sudden awareness that you had, or was it more like over time people were coming to you more and more and you were like, oh, actually really I'm getting a lot from this and actually I'm quite good?
You know what, Renee, I think in hindsight, a lot of people have said to me that I'm a really good listener. It's not just friends or family that would come to me. It would be people I have even just met on the street sometimes, or I met that same on a night out. I thought to myself, that's quite interesting. It's not like I have a big sign over my head that says, here's a free helpline. But at the same time, I remember, or I always have an instinct to help. I always want to help other people. And that's always something that I've been like that since I was a young girl. So if I think about it, you know, my overall purpose in life is to make a positive impact in society. And you can see that reflected in the type of work that I've done or the companies I chose to work for. So I feel like coaching is a natural extension of that purpose. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And it is, you know, I think especially good coaches, it is like a calling because you really are serving and helping others on their path.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's why I was interested if it was an awareness or was it something that evolved over time? But it sounds like you've been doing it since you were really young.
No, I think it's definitely more of something that's evolved over time. It's nice, hindsight, as we always say, it's good to have, right? So I can connect dots from always volunteering for helplines, for example. In hindsight, I can see all the signs, but it wasn't until I was coached myself that I thought, wow, this is incredible. This is incredibly powerful, both for me and incredibly rewarding, both for the coachee and the coach. And I think that being coached myself helped me articulate why I want to become a coach.
And that's like both what connected you and Samira, is that you were both chatting about your experiences and both of you have said it's been transformational. So it's kind of... Mm-hmm. Why you formed Hack Camp, which I mentioned in the intro, and with Samira, who we absolutely adore and massive fans of. Can you talk more about how it came about? Like, you know, this kind of light conversation around, you know, what it was for you, and then it's now morphed into something really, you know, on its way to being transformational within society and kind of, like you said, working towards your purpose.
So Samira and I have been friends since 2015. We met co-organizing a community event 5 years ago. Oh yeah, almost 5 years ago now. So we've kept in touch over the years. And last year, we just had dinner like we always do. And we both coincidentally just happened to be, you know, working with our coaches. So you very eloquently said, or Samira eloquently said, why she found coaching so transformational. And I couldn't agree more with her. The reason why I believe in its power and its effect on individuals is that I think if you look at my CV on paper, I know that a lot of people would say, well, you know, you've done a lot of amazing things, but I never felt that way. I've always had, and I still suffer from, imposter syndrome. And so that was something that I worked with my coach, was around how to find confidence in my leadership and how to articulate my voice as a leader. Emily, my coach, was incredible. She gave me the space to explore the different barriers I had to really owning my space as a leader. She gave me different tools and ways to reflect on what's holding me back. And she did so in a way that wasn't intrusive. It wasn't biased or by any means. And, you know, ultimately she was incredibly non-judgmental. She made me feel safe and she made me feel that I had the answers deep down myself. I just needed someone to help me surface them. that's such an incredible gift to give someone, the reassurance and the power to find the answers for themselves. So that's why I really started to believe in coaching, not just for my personal development, but in the professional setting as well. So, you know, Shamir and I exchanged experiences. We also just started to think about the industry as a whole. So, you know, coaching has been around for a long time. John Whitmore first wrote his book a few decades ago, and yet it seems like it's only been the past 2 years that it's really become more openly talked about. I hear more people having coaches at work, for example, than I did, 3 to 5 years ago. And so Samira and I talked about it as an industry, who has had coaching before, who has in which industries seem to grasp it more. And what we realized is that, you know, what despite the fact that we know that it has such an incredible impact on everybody, there's still a barrier to coaching, whether that's people who are accessing it versus the type of people that go to coaching in general. So we founded HackCamp, one, because of our passion for coaching, but two, it's also to address two challenges that we identified in the industry, which is one, the lack of diversity amongst the coaches themselves, but also the type of people that access coaching. So whether it's the type of industry you're in, so for example, here more, you know, finance, consultants, people from those industries getting coaches versus people from charities, social enterprises, etc. But also in terms of your ethnic background as well. Or we've realized that there are a lot of people from ethnic minorities that have said, you know what, I would love to access coaching, but I don't know where to find those resources, or I can't find someone to relate to. So that's why we created HackCamp.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's like a new venture, isn't it? It's kind of been set up in the last few months. And I think it's so wonderful because I think...
You know what, Ray? Sorry to... So it does sound like we only set it up a few months ago, but we actually set it up a year ago.
Oh, and I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry, because it's actually really interesting. We founded it about a year ago, maybe even over a year ago, but it's only in the last few months that we started promoting ourselves. And that is something that Samir and I have said, wow, that's really interesting. What's held us back before? It is because Samir and I, and sorry, Samira, I'm throwing you in this, but she admits she will say this as well, is that we are so shy about self-promotion. We really don't like stepping. We find it uncomfortable to step into the spotlight or limelight, whatever the saying is. And we found it hard to talk about ourselves and our venture. It's also such a reflection of the journey that we've come in terms of how confident we are about and comfortable we are about being vulnerable in such a public space.
I'm really interested in that self-reflective journey that you just talked about as well, in terms of your own confidence and your own transformation. But also, you know, you are stepping into a spotlight at present that's addressing a dire need, because coaching is amazing. I only had coaching for the first time last year. Mm-hmm. I found it really, really useful. But, you know, it wasn't cheap. And I think that is a massive barrier in terms of, you know, many different entry points. What made you really focus and drive towards this notion of making it accessible? Because coaching can be transformational, but it is often through privilege, whether that's financial resources, whether that's you're in the right industry or you have someone that can champion you or provide a pathway to that.
Yeah.
Even having the confidence to go, I need a coach, because it's also being vulnerable when you're going to coaching. You know, you're putting out, well, these are all the things I feel a bit shit about, you know, and I want to overcome them so I can move forward. But that in its own right is quite scary. And that's a barrier as well, if you haven't had the opportunity for people creating a support network for you. So what made you focus in terms of that area in helping people that tend to be excluded or find quite a tough barrier to get into some form of coaching to help them move forward?
Well, quite frankly, I think it's because we are from that demographic that will not have easy access to coaching. So Samir and I come from ethnic minorities, but also because we come from industries that it's not commonplace to have a coach. So I am from the social enterprise, third sector, charitable organization world, Tech for Good. A lot of it, I also come from a lot of startups, so I work for a lot of startups as well. So they wouldn't necessarily have the budget to give everybody a coach, for example. Like you said, it is extremely expensive for a lot of people. Experiencing that ourselves made us focus on wanting to support the people that want to have access to coaching, but are at the start of their career, for example. So that's why we wanted to focus on emerging leaders and entrepreneurs, because we felt that they are at the point of their career where they would probably benefit immensely from coaching, but not necessarily have the access or the means to do so. And again, we define that as monetary or even just knowing where to find the coach.
It's those kind of softer edges, like monetary and financial means is like a hard barrier to entry, but it's also having the confidence in, like, I want to invest in my career and it, you know, I want to take, and I need some guidance, like even having that awareness that there's someone you can go to that can help you shape what your career could look like, or that point in your personal life and marrying maybe a side hustle or whatever it may be. So yeah, I think what you're doing is awesome.
Thank you. You really picked up on an interesting point there. I feel like it's not even just being able to say, you know what, I know deep in myself that I would benefit from a coach to get me to the next level. You picked up on it earlier. It's being vulnerable and actually saying it to someone and saying, you know what, here, I'm really vulnerable here. Here's a big hole here. Help me fill it up. Because that's not easy for a lot of people. It's a very, you know, you're exposing yourself. And that is extremely tough, especially when it's your first time to do so. So yeah, so I think that's why the relationship that you build with your coach is paramount, because you need to have that rapport and you need to feel that you can trust them to work through the things that you want to work through.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we lightly discussed it when we caught up yesterday, pre this session. But what I'm really interested in is elements that you focused on about kind of being embodied through your coaching and people kind of feeling or connecting their emotions to what's happening. Because I think what coaching is really great. And when you talked about filling a big hole or an area that you feel vulnerable in, I think that, you know, I'm speaking from personal experience, you know, we can sabotage ourselves because of our fears or uncertainties. You know, like, you know, I'm fearful of being successful in this area because of X, and not really having that awareness. But that then plays out in kind of the mind and the body. So I'm really curious about your process of coaching and this kind of embodying element and like looking at it holistically as a whole.
Something that I only started learning about when I did my training with Catalyst 1-4, this amazing woman who trained, I suppose, introduced us, is probably the better word, to embodied coaching. And, you know, it was like a light bulb went off in my head. I mean, it's so obvious, I think, when I think about it, but it was such a, yeah, it was such a groundbreaking moment for me when she said very simply, you know, your body is linked to your mind. Very simple terms. It was quite powerful for me because I realized that what I was, you know, my actions or what I feel internally is very much linked to my own thoughts and my own beliefs. And so when I experienced that for myself, I started to explore and see, you know, how does it work for other people? So I started to introduce embodied coaching within my practice this year. And so I would always contract on it. I'd always say, you know, I'm trying something new. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I'm just curious to see how your thoughts manifest themselves in psychosomatic experiences. So if you worked with me, you'd find that I'd really often say, that's a really interesting point that you bring up. What does your heart say? Or what does your gut say? Or what does your mind say? Oftentimes, they would say different things, even though we assume that, you know what, our thoughts are our thoughts, but actually they're coming from the mind. It tends to be more logical. So if you listen to what your mind says, it tends to be very logical and very process driven. If it's from the heart, it's more about your emotions or what you're experiencing at that moment internally. And then with your gut, it's more instinctual. So I play around with the different quote unquote voices, your mind, heart, gut. And also I'll probably ask something along the lines of, which one feels right to listen to at this moment as well. And there's different ways to do embodied coaching. yes, there's just different techniques, but that's how I define it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I work with people, if they allow me to, of course.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by that because it's, you know, it's been a journey for me to kind of reconcile mind and body. You know, I'm very ambitious with being very focused on the task or on the objective or on the aim. And yeah, I've definitely gotten better. I think it might be age, but I think I've definitely gotten better of trying to slow things down and kind of feel what's happening in my body as well as my mind.
What do you think made you want to slow down and think more about what's happening at the present?
I love that this is turning into a coaching session. I think...
Sorry, I didn't realize I'm going to leave it. Oh my God.
I think I can get very close to burnout, like I have done all throughout my career. Like I can keep working and keep focusing, and I am someone that can ignore the physical and maybe emotional signs and, like I said, really focus on the task. And I realized that's really damaging for the mind and the body and the soul. And actually, I was noticing shorter times between those burnout. You know, I don't feel I ever got to that absolute burnout. But yeah, I was like, oh yeah, this is not a good place to be. And I know I need to slam on the brakes and do some self-care. And I was like, it's not a very productive way to work. You know, the way I started really thinking about it was like an elastic band. You know, you keep stretching, you keep stretching. Mm-hmm. And then you relax it and you keep stretching and keep stretching. Over time, it's just going to be really floppy or snap, you know? And I was like, yeah, this body's like carrying me through this life and I need to give it some respect.
No, you want to be thriving, not just surviving.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And that's another way of embodiment. Absolutely. One of the things that I've been working with some clients is, you know, around negative self-talk. So I get them to start thinking about, okay, well, you've described perfectly what it's like when those thoughts come in. But what happens within your body before those thoughts come in? You know, oftentimes they'll describe something around tightness somewhere in the body or a shortness of breath before those thoughts come in. And being aware of those cues will help you manage those negative thoughts better. I mean, that's not going to be the magic silver bullet, but at least you can identify the physical symptoms, you'll know how to manage them earlier. That's another reason why I find coaching so powerful. It's coaching helps you explore things from different perspectives, and it helps by doing so. You look at a situation or a problem through a different lens, and I feel that by doing so, it gives you options on how to move forward.
Which is a beautiful segue into the Future Leader Program. So, you know I talked about it and I think it's so incredible that you both launched it and you managed to get the Pay It Forward and the funding came in with 48 hours. I mean, congratulations, and it's such a great initiative. But I'm wondering if you could tell me a bit more about how it came about and what you're both aiming to achieve.
The Leaders Program was born out of the Black Lives Matter movement. So we really took, Samir and I really took our time to, as a company, figure out the best way to respond and participate into the movement. We wanted to make it really meaningful and aligned with our purpose and our values, not just as a company, but as individuals. We really wanted to avoid token participation. The Future Leaders Program is a 6-week leadership program aimed to provide young emerging leaders and entrepreneurs the opportunity to have a coach. So the first cohort, as you mentioned, we are going to be 9 different leaders and entrepreneurs from the Black community. Samira is actually leading this one. Samira is the lead coach, so she is going to be coaching these young Black leaders. My role in this is that I am going to facilitate the community, the offline community, as well as support in the group workshops, group sessions as a facilitator. It was really important for us to have Samira as the lead on this because she is from a Somali background. And we thought that these young Black leaders would resonate more with an amazing woman like Samira, as you already know, as their main coach.
Awesome. And so what will they leave with? I'm sorry to put that on you. I know they're going to leave with some amazing things, but what is the ambition that they leave with?
Other than hopefully achieving the goals that they want to achieve. The reason why we set this up is we want to equip them with the tools that they need as they embark on the next step in their career. But ultimately, it's to give them the confidence they need to take their career to the next level and give them that safe space, again, to explore and reflect and learn because, as I mentioned before, we don't give that time to ourselves. As coaches, that's probably the most powerful thing that we can give someone, is that space to develop.
So I know that you've already raised some of the cash for a second cohort of future leaders, and you're hoping to raise more money to pay it forward so that they can be fully supported. So where can people go or reach you guys in terms of being able to donate and pay it forward?
Fantastic. So we have a section on our website talking about how people can sign up or participate. So that's www.hackcamp.co.uk, or feel free to shoot us an email at hello@hackcamp.co.uk.
And we'll put those details in the show notes. And
Thank you.
I'm very much looking forward to hearing that the second cohort will be fully funded as well.
I'm really excited for them. It's going to be really exciting to see how these young leaders develop over the next few weeks.
I definitely want to hear more about that as well as it progresses, because it's so exciting that... And I think it's definitely worth shouting about again, is that within weeks, and like you said, you took time to reflect on it, which I think is really important, because there was a lot of noise and a lot of activity when the Black Lives Movement, as a result of the brutal murder of George Floyd, came in. There was a lot of noise and a lot of attention, but you know, it's a long game that we need to keep that noise going. So I'm just so impressed that you guys, you know, took your time, thought about it strategically, put an initiative in place, managed to get the funding, and are already, you know, as of the 6th of July, taking forward future leaders and giving them coaching. It's awesome. So congratulations to both you and Samira. It's awesome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you've articulated so well. We didn't want it to be a short time thing. Whatever we did, we didn't want it to be something that was only going to be 1 or 2 weeks. We wanted it to be really meaningful and impactful, and again, in a way that is true to ourselves, not what other people are doing. So that's why we thought, you know what, since we are very passionate about focusing on young leaders and entrepreneurs, and we are a coaching business at the end of the day, the best way we can support this movement is by providing coaching to young Black leaders. We'll see how it goes. I'm sure there's a lot of things that we could have done better in hindsight. So we're definitely going to reflect and learn from this experience as well.
Well, like I said, I'm looking forward to hearing and watching it progress, because I know it's going to be a thing that keeps going, because I you know, knowing both of you and your determination as well. So
thank you so much. It's been an incredible journey. And I think we really, in the last few months, have really started to find our voice and how we talk about ourselves and how we want to support other people. So fingers crossed that we are able to do that.
I don't think you need to cross fingers. You're already doing it. Well, look, you know, like, I am an advocate for coaching, and I think it's really important, especially for younger people. And so I love that you're doing that. But I'm going to ask you, like, if someone's a bit skeptical and they're really stuck in their personal or their kind of career kind of life, what is it a coach can do to help them unlock and find the solution? So I'm trying to, I guess, do a little bit of convincing here for those people, one, that have never done it and that would find it really useful, or two, that those who have had it can go to Hack Camp and donate some money for the future leaders.
You know, when people ask me, like, what does a coach do, how I describe it is the coach is the conduit for change. So they'll never be the solution. So you can't go to a coach and be like, can you just give me the answers? Almost like an agony aunt. It's almost like they can be the sparring partner. So someone you can rely on to help you explore a topic. If this is your style, challenge you on your assumptions or beliefs if necessary. And I really stipulate if this is your style, because not everybody reacts to that in a positive way. And I said it earlier already, but coaching helps you explore different dimensions to a particular situation. So a coach is someone that can hold up a mirror for you and talk you through what you see or maybe what you don't see. Yeah, I think as a coach will help you really, really be aware of the present situation. And I stress that because I think we don't do that in this day and age often enough.
If someone was thinking about becoming a coach, what would you say are the skills that you would need?
I think three of the most important skills you need as a coach is, the first one is empathy. I think you need to be able to relate to others in a way that resonates with people. The second is you need to have, maybe it's not a skill, I lied, more about having a passion to empower others. It can be rewarding to support other people, but it's also draining. So you need to be someone that is really passionate about helping other people if you want to be a coach. I think the third, and this is one that I didn't learn until I went through my training, but you also need to be self-aware. You need to be aware of your strengths, your areas of development, and your trigger areas as well. Because as a coach, you know, you are exposed to people's emotions, people's thoughts, their dreams, their passions, their weaknesses, their vulnerability. Because it's such an emotionally charged space that you're working in, you need to be aware of your boundaries and, you know, what, like I said, like what your triggers are, because you don't want to bring that into your coaching. So being aware of that means that you'll be able to manage it so that it doesn't affect the coaching or it doesn't affect the coaching relationship. And that's something that I didn't really factor in until I did my training myself. And I would say that is just as equally important as being empathetic or having a high EQ, emotional intelligence.
Yeah, that's actually, I hadn't really considered that, but obviously that's at play at all times when you're coaching, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm not saying, you know, you need to learn how to completely remove it from the session. It's more about, oh, that's interesting. That thought is there. I'm just going to pause that for a second so I can focus on the person in front of me. So I'm going to share something really personal. I find it really difficult to talk about my emotions. Like if someone asks me how I'm feeling, I'm very much like, yeah, I'm fine, when things are definitely not fine. Before in the past, if I had a client that was really good at exploring their emotions and how they view themselves, I would instantly feel a tightness in my chest. And at first I thought, oh, that's interesting. Where did that come from? But actually it's because I struggled with that and I found it really, yeah, I had a reaction to other people doing it so well. So by knowing that that was a trigger for me, eventually learned how to say, okay, that's interesting. That's an experience, Isabella, that you're having, but we need to focus on the individual. Let's put that to the side and we'll explore that later. Mm. And I don't think I'd be able to do that if I wasn't self-aware.
Wow. And what advice would you give to someone? So someone is thinking about moving towards a career in coaching or has listened to this and thought, actually, I love the sound of that, or I've got those skills. What steps would you advise they take?
Definitely talk to other coaches. I think the best way to learn about a profession is to talk to the people who are actually doing it themselves and at different stages. So don't just talk to a coach who has been doing it for 10 plus years. Talk to coaches who are at the beginning of their journey, because everybody comes to coaching differently. And it's interesting to see, one, how they came to coaching, you know, what journey they had. Two, but how do they set up their own practice and how they coach. So what I mean by that is, are they working with individuals? Are they working with companies? Are they doing a mixture of both? It's such a broad sector that talking to as many people as you can about how they got there will help you shape, you know, well, one, whether or not you want to be a coach, but two, what type of coach and how you want to support others as well. So that's one, definitely speak to people. Two, there are different organizations that provide training. So you can do a foundation course, for example, before you commit to a full diploma or a full master's. So that's a way for you to have a taste on what the training involves and what coaching entails. And three, if it's possible, I'd really encourage people to be coached themselves, because that in itself is a lesson, not just for your development, but for you to witness firsthand what it's like to be coached.
Yeah, I think maybe that's like 101. You do have to go and have some coaching before you coach some other people, just to give you a sense.
You'd be surprised, though. You'd be surprised at the number of people that go, I want to be a coach. How do I do it? I'm like, well, but have you, you know, been coached before? They go, well, not really, kind of, maybe. Let's say, well, do a full round first and see whether you like being coached yourself first. Yeah. And then see if you want to be on the other side.
I'm wondering if I can ask you, what has been one of the biggest challenges you've faced in your career?
Well, there's so many in terms of, you know, professional roadblocks or difficult situations, but I think the biggest challenge, if I could bring it high level to make it a theme, the biggest challenge I had is backing myself. You know, I am someone that is really ambitious, really driven, and I really focus on the task at hand, oftentimes at the expense of my own confidence and as well as my abilities. So I think that's been the biggest challenge I've been and I'm still battling, actually. I wish I could say, you know what, I've solved my confidence issues or my imposter syndrome issues, but it's always a work in progress. So yeah, that would definitely be my biggest challenge.
And what do you love about what you do?
I love the fact that I'm working with people. I really love conversations. I love building relationships or meeting different types of people. And it's that collaborative nature that makes me really energized and inspired. That's what drives me as an individual.
And look, one thing I didn't mention in the intro, but one, you've just had a baby. And secondly, we're still in partial lockdown. So I ask this question to everyone, but I appreciate the answer might be pretty thin. But how do you fuel your creativity at the moment? Where do you go? What do you do?
So, yes, you're absolutely right. I have a 5-week-old. So maybe my creative juices are a little bit limited at the moment. But what do? Where do I go? I love getting myself lost in my favorite books. I know that if I feel like I'm being stagnant, I tend to go back to my favorite novels and reread them. Journaling is also a great one. You can tell that I'm really, my answers are really influenced by partial lockdown, because I also would have said go on a hike is what I would normally say, but appreciate that we haven't been able to do that in the last 12 weeks. But yeah, no, nature, being around nature really rejuvenates me. I'm originally from the Philippines, so any body of water, you know, ideally it would be a beach near, you know, in the Philippines, but, you know, girl can dream. So I'll just settle for any body of water. I find it really relaxing and soothing, and it helps me focus on the present and reflect and reset.
Yeah, I'm totally drawn to water as well. It's just a calming energy. So you've currently got Future Leaders underway, and you've also got Hack Camp ongoing. So what's coming up for you in the next few weeks, in addition to these two awesome things?
In the next few weeks and months, we'll be hopefully launching our second cohort of Future Leaders right after the first one. And also just for HackCam, it's increasing our presence, making ourselves heard more and more. And on the personal level, it is to get to know my baby girl, Talia, a bit more. She's 5 weeks old, so we're still learning about each other.
Congratulations on that front. And thank you for making thank the time you. For doing the interview with a fresh newborn.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Isabel, it's been so fantastic chatting to you and learning about the amazing things that you and Samira are doing. I'm wondering, before you go, if I can ask you one final question. Is there a woman in the creative industries that you would love to hear on Greater Than 11%?
Someone that I thought of is a woman called Amy Hatch. On Instagram, she's the Timeless Stylist. So she started off her career as a wedding stylist. But now she's doing like brand and editorial design as well. She's an incredible woman. I really like her. I love her work. She was the stylist for our wedding, and learning about her journey and how she used to do a 9-to-5 in London and then set up her own company 3 years ago, following her passion around weddings and editorial design. She's an incredible woman.
Oh, she sounds awesome. You'll definitely have to put me in touch with her.
Yeah, I will do.
Isabel, it's been so lovely to catch up with you, hear about Hack Camp, hear about the Future Leaders Initiative, and congratulations on both the baby and the Future Leaders.
Thank you so much.
Which you both kind of birthed around the same time. So yeah, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Janine. It's been a pleasure.
Listening. If you enjoyed, please write a review and rate, as that helps other people find Greater Than 11%. Also, stay subscribed to keep up to date on the weekly releases.